Public Broadcasting Network.
March 19th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. They got that James Bond music going again today because we got two sleuthing investigators running around. Tom Lockerer riding shotgun with me. I'm going to bring him up in just a minute. But before I do, I want to kind of give you an outline of the week. Now, I laid the onus on to Tom to bring up the content for today, to take a kind of a little bit of a brain break, if you will. But tomorrow, coming up, I'm probably going to do my program on the PNAC boys, you know, those wonderful people that wrote the PNAC documents. Wednesday, I wanted to let everybody know that I watched a video of Ken O'Keefe in a conference in Iraq where he made about a 15-minute speech regarding his feelings on the situation in the world. And I noticed Kevin Barrett sitting there in attendance, so I reached out to Kevin and I asked him to come on the show Wednesday from 2 to 3 and give us his overview for having boots on the ground about the ideology, the people, the religious culture, and the leadership of Iran. So that's coming up Wednesday. Thursday, first hour, I've got Henry Mackow. Excuse me, not first hour. I've got Rudy Davis, the advocate for political prisoners, coming on the air to talk about some of the people that have been locked up politically and what he's doing about that. Second hour, I will have Henry Mackow talking about James Wesley Howell. And the actually, both of those guys are familiar with James Wesley Howell. And I'm also reaching out to Pastor Wiley Drake, who happens to be over in that area. I've got a call into him and hoping that he's going to be able to contact me back and visit James Wesley Howell. Friday, I've got a show called What Happened to the Passengers. I'm going to have Daryl from Alabama up riding shotgun because he's a fellow pilot, and we're going to discuss that issue. So with that, Tom Lockavera, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Well, I'm thanking you for a nice break. I didn't have to stick my nose into a computer last night. I was actually able to relax and watch a few other more entertaining videos, if you will. So
yes.
What do you got for us today?
Well, you know, I have this Marxist infestation of our universities is concerning. Also, I just released an article on Steam It about a New Jersey kids from New Jersey who apparently went to a gun range on their own time. And for some odd reason, we're punished because of this zero-tolerance policy that they have for students being in possession of firearms on or off school grounds. Very interesting, I thought. And this led to a conversation, of course, with my wife, who has been a thorn in the side of these schools in Texas, who are just overtly Marxist in their posturing. So anyway, she had said to me, she said, "Well, I guess their parents just deserve it." She was kind of being cocky. She didn't really mean that their parents deserve it. What she was trying to say was that when you walk into these schools and you sign your kid up for school at a public school, don't sign anything. Because what you're signing to is you're by the your own consent, you're giving up certain rights and assuming some sort of privilege for going to the school. So she reserves all rights. She did for a long time with her son. She reserves all rights. And, you know, it's the law that the kid has to go to school. So she doesn't withhold her kid from going to school. This is, you know, in the past. But she wouldn't sign anything. She wouldn't agree to these zero tolerance policies and all of these other things. So here we have this situation where these two students... now, there's some conflicting news about this. I don't share fake news. I don't do fake news. But it seems as though we have the same situation with the school superintendent here who was contacted, who was asked if this was true, and he said it's fake news. It's not exactly true. Something that not exactly true. Well, here's what happened. The kids posted their Facebook on Facebook. They posted... had a great day at the range or something to that effect with the picture of their guns, you know, and they're shooting. But they're at a range where they're safe, where the you know, everything, that's what you do is you go to a range. That's for you're being responsible. And apparently the school feels as though their zero tolerance policy determines that they should not, I don't know, be punished in some way. So anyway.
Okay, now, can I interject here for just a second? All right, sure. I want to ask you. Now, you're talking about your wife. I believe her name is Lori. Is that right?
Yep.
Your wife? Okay. Yep. You know, when you're talking about, you said there's documentation that she didn't sign in the school system. Now, what that reminded me of, the penny drop, you know, the light bulb goes off my head, because I see this all the time. And it's called a terms of service agreement. Now, we see those on everything we do. Anything we sign up for online or whatever, terms of service agreement. And it's always about 50 pages worth of gobbledygook that buried somewhere on page 32A-C is what, you know, the nasty stuff is that they know that 98% of the public's never going to read, right? So, so do you know how many pages of documents that they had shoved in front of your wife for her to read, number one?
Oh, well, you know, I know that it was quite a bit because I've been with friends when they've registered their kids for school. So I you know.
Okay. So did she read it and not sign it, or did she just push it back and say, no, I'm not signing this?
Well, she was already familiar with what was in it, so she didn't really need to, but she did. Of course, she did read it. She doesn't do anything ill-informed, and to not read something and not sign it would also be ill-informed because you don't know what they're trying to do. So she was very aware of certain things that she was uncomfortable with signing. So she's reserving. So she basically reserved all rights.
Okay.
You know, I'm not giving up my rights to my kid or my authority over my child to the nanny state. This basically was her position on it.
Okay. You know, this is in Texas, so I'm going to imagine I'm going to step out on a limb for a minute and imagine that if you're in California doing this, buried in the terms of service agreement on page 92.6A-4-3, it says that you're giving up all rights and your children are going to be mandatorily vaccinated with 89 shots, right? Probably something like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Continue.
But see, now here's the thing. Waivers. Let's talk about waivers for a minute. Especially with vaccines, a lot of parents feel that they don't want their kids to get these vaccines because they've seen, you know, the damage that it's done. And what I say to that is, don't sign the waiver. Why? Because if you read the fine print on a lot of these waivers, you're also like kind of opening yourself up to child abuse charges because, you know, they make claims in the waiver that. By signing this, you realize that you could be endangering blah, blah, blah. So you're essentially giving information on yourself, admitting that you're endangering the welfare of your child by signing some of these waivers.
So I'm going to assume, knowing the way the state works, I'm going to assume that as soon as you sign this, they take a copy and they fax it right over to Child Protective Services. Something along those lines, right?
And you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
Go ahead.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
By the way, look at this. And they've got a stack of them, right? You know, I mean, they've got two stacks. One for, okay, here's a dumbed-down American. We're going to shoot their kids up with 49 different shots. And the other packet or the other pile is the 1 or 2% of people say, no, I'm not doing that. And they take those and immediately turn them over to Child Protective Service to get them in the legal system. So, you know, that's the way our – you know, I'm just speculating here, folks, but it wouldn't surprise me. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, it's – you know, you people, and of course, if you resist this, you're given that label of you're anti-government. Well, you know what? When government has come to the point where they force you to inject dead animal flesh and chemicals into your skin, and let's look at this whole vaccine thing, right? Let's say for a moment that the CDC and all of these people pushing this big pharma agenda, let's say they're all right, right? And all of these kids that get the vaccine are safe and protected. Then where is my kid not getting that, endangering? How is my kid endangering your kid? So what danger is there that I'm posing to the public?
That's a good point. I've never thought of it that way. If all the other kids are vaccinated and my kid's not, and my kid comes down with X, Y, D, Z disease, but all the other kids are protected from it, then my kid's the only one that's going to wind up, you know, with whatever consequences and ill effects of that thing is, right?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, I got it. I'm writing this down. I'm taking copious notes here. And folks, so should you. All right. Not for the sake of you, folks, but for the sake of your children and grandchildren. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. So anyway. This is really this freedom initiative is important. We need to really make people critically think as to what they're signing. Every time you put your name and you sign your name to something, and if you don't read it, if you don't make sure that you know the contents of it, and they deceive you in so many ways. I mean, here you go. Well, no problem. You know, you don't have to do this. Just sign this release form. Release from what? Waiver from what? I mean, people don't think.
Well, no. And again, I have to interject here because what I found out through my 20-year-plus battle with the Internal Revenue Service, which is what, you know, caused it to really caused me to really focus on the power of the human being's signature. That is the most powerful thing on the planet. As a matter of fact, that money isn't even put into creation until a human being signs. A cat doesn't do it, a dog doesn't do it, a pig doesn't do it, okay, but a human being can sign a, quote, note, which is a promissory note, which is a promise to trade their labor for a repayment of the note with the usury interest of whatever it is, paying four times as much as the house. But it holds true with everything you do because they don't even create the fiat currency until the human being that is promising their labor signs that note. Go ahead.
No, that's absolutely right. So you know, you have to understand the power of the power of the signatures. You know, they're basically asking you to give up your all of your rights, and it really does. I mean, why would you need to sign something? All right, the government requires your kid to go to school. Okay, here he is. Why would I need to sign anything to do that? Why would I need to agree to all of this gobbledygook to do that if there's not an underlying agenda? Now, my own position now, we look at all of this Parkland, what's come in the wake of this Parkland thing with these kids doing the walkouts and using school property to push a political agenda that's a leftist political agenda of this anti-gun rhetoric. I really don't understand the fundamentals of the whole Kids for Cash thing. And that's something else that I really wanted to talk about in detail. I don't know if I did cover that on your show yet with the Kids for Cash scandal out of Florida.
No, it doesn't. I don't think so. But it wouldn't matter if we did because we can still cover it from different perspectives. I understand that I understand that David Hogg, you know, the CNN wannabe, has put out a message saying that he's not even going to go back to school until they pass anti-gun legislation. I mean, you know,
then he would be in violation of the law.
Well, but who's this kid's handler? You know, right. Obviously he has.
So here's the hypocrisy because here he's positing that he's willing to break the law And what makes that any different? That I just I'm not even going to go any further with that. Let's David Hogg.
No. But here, look, you know, he's going to break the law. Now, this falls part and parcel in line with what did Donald Trump say? For every new regulation, he's going to get rid of two, right? Well, David Hogg breaks the law to not go to school so they can enact one, two, three pieces of legislation for gun control. So it's kind of the exact opposite, left-right paradigm. Donald Trump says, you know, I'm going to get rid of two for everyone. He says, no, I'm going to violate one to get two or three.
Yep.
Does that make any sense?
Nah.
It's inversion. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's Monday morning. It's Monday morning, okay? It's early. Go ahead.
Yep. So check this out, right? Now, I don't remember whether I talked to you this about, but I'm going to lay it out for the audience.
All right. Go ahead.
So we have what my opinion is of this is that they use this attack. This is a brilliant coordinated effort. This attack on the NRA and, of course, the right to keep and bear arms, which is not a Second Amendment right, but an inalienable, natural, pre-existing right before the government ever existed. For those of you out there that continue to say my Second Amendment rights, I ask that you do me a favor when you find that slipping out of your mouth, walk over to the nearest wall and smack your head into the wall three times and say, unalienable, pre-existing, government never has the right to say or do anything about it anyway. That's just, thank you for that. Anyway, so we know that this big CNN push, this whole media circus, shutting down, by the way, the ROTC students' opinions because they wanted to script this fake news of CNN, was covering up something greater. Now, the conservative treehouse and my back in the days of Trayvon Martin and myself and Lori Anderson, separate from that, during the Trayvon Martin shooting and investigation, we were trying to get to the bottom of all that. We discovered this money it's an Obama program. It was Obama era grant program that essentially was provided to through the county sheriffs and through the school resource officers, money to prevent the kids to prison pipeline for marginalized students. Okay, so where we have Marxist program. Okay.
Okay, you're going all the way back to Trayvon Martin, but it seems to me like this ran through my computer regarding this Parkland thing as well. That was uncovered. Go ahead. I'll let you have the floor. All right, go ahead.
Why this is so important is because this is where it was first discovered by the conservative treehouse. Uh-huh. And God, I love Lori Anderson, who found the money. She follows the money, and she's great at that. And she brought that to my attention. We started looking into this. Then we started finding out who Trayvon Martin really was. And, you know, I think that he was a very troubled drug addict young man and addicted to drugs. You know, what he had in his hand, you saw one of these representatives, Democrat representative idiots, walking onto the floor of Congress wearing a hoodie with a bag of Skittles in one hand and a can of Arizona fruit punch in the other hand, trying to make it say, oh, Trayvon was just going to the store. This idiot is holding in his hand the concoction. It's a recipe for what they call in Florida, because I live there, I know this, syrup. And what they do is they take codeine cough syrup and they mix it with Skittles and Arizona fruit punch in a little pot on the stove and melt it all together to make like this candy thick liquid that kind of takes the medicine-y taste out of the codeine cough syrup. It makes it more palatable, right? And these kids get really, really badly addicted to this stuff. They buy up bottles of syrup on the street. And people sometimes go in poor communities to the doctor faking cough so that they get this cough syrup and they go and sell it on the street, make a lot of money on it. So anyway, Trayvon Martin was breaking into houses, committing crimes. He was the school resource officers had so many contacts with this kid, but he never seemed to get arrested. He never seemed to go to jail, right? Same kind of scenario we'll hear a little bit later on. I'll get to the tie-in with Cruz. So what we find out in Dade County, I have an article published on rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com. It's hashtags kids lives for cash. That's the start of it. All right. And I'd like to just go when we come back from break. I'd like to go through this article and explain to everybody what's causing this problem.
Marxism. Okay, if I might ask, we're going to a break right now, but allow me to have 3 minutes on my own show to report one little inkling of something I did bring up and I've looked at. Okay, so we'll be back.
Sorry.
You're first. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my shotgun writing partner, Tom Lockabear. Be right back.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Back with the American Awakening, Michael Herzog, your host. I'm going to give the reins to the stagecoach over to Tom. Make sure that his firing pin is released from his cap gun, and he's going to roll. So, go ahead. You got the floor, Tom.
All right. So, you got to stop making me laugh when I start. Okay. Anyway. All right. Kids' lives for cash. Right. Everyone really needs to know about this. You know, there's aspects to the Florida shooting that run through the conspiracy threads, right? And the false flag threads, right? And that's fine. I couldn't focus on that. I couldn't focus on all angles of this. So what we did, and I'm not discounting it, and I'm not saying that there wasn't some elements there that are highly curious. But what we did was basically follow the money, right? So Trayvon Martin, you take this kid, and he has gotten into many different points in his life, gotten into trouble. He was posting videos and pictures on Facebook and guns and gold teeth and all this stuff. You know, he's acting like a gangster. But they put him up as, oh, he could have been Obama's son. Well, yeah, maybe so, knowing what we know about Obama now. But anyway, so many officers, there were several officers that came forward that gave testimony that basically what they were being pressured to do was to destroy evidence, not arrest these kids. If they come across and they come with contraband, with drugs or whatever, they would seize the drugs, they'd throw it into evidence, but they wouldn't associate a case ID number to it or a defendant to, because they were ending the kids to prison pipeline effectively without actually doing anything but ignoring the criminal activity. So it allowed it to fester. Then once the local criminals realized that the kids weren't being prosecuted, they started using them to mule all of their drugs even more. So it exacerbated the problem. This is an Obama-era grant program for you. Now let's fast forward to Mr. Cruz. Same pattern. Same everything. He had 40-some contacts, no arrests. He had it was reported that he held a gun to a kid's head at one point, that he had abused people he was living with. All of these things, all of these red flags, why weren't they reported? Well, you notice how they didn't make much mention that Cruz was not white, right? He was Latino. Mm-hmm. Of course, so he falls into this marginalized protection of the Promise federal grant program that protects these individuals from prison, but at the detriment of everyone else around them. So rather than him being held to account for his actions long ago, here we have the makings of either a ticking time bomb or a perfect patsy. Although I'm still confused as to if this was all a false flag, why they used a Latino. That's the one thing that's confusing me. So this is, I kind of think that there's a multitude of layers of interesting things that happen here. The cover up to this Promise Grant Program blunder and Sheriff Israel, one of the most corrupt sheriffs I've ever in my life, everything starts to make sense as to why this kid, he didn't slip through the cracks, right? He was pushed through the cracks, and he was done so. If you go to this article, at the bottom of the article, there's a couple links to officers' testimony that are related to the Trayvon case. And it's the exact same thing that was happening there was happening here. So one quote that I have that I want to try and bring up for the folks there that I think is relevant, I'm trying to search for right now. Well, anyway, the grant-making process is something that was long ago, very long time ago, was planned to use against us, right? And the plan for the whole grant-making process was to radically transform the United States to be merged with the Soviet Union. Where is that quote? Looking for it now.
Now, here, let me ask you about...
Here it is. Here's one. Now, this goes to the fake news.
All right, stop. Don't make the quote yet. We got to go to a break.
Okay. All right.
We'll be back in a few. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'll take the reins back in a few minutes and give you your cap gun back. Be right back.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
All right, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your coach. Does that make him crazy? Does that make you crazy? Does that make me crazy? Does that make the audience crazy? Tom, your quote? Go ahead.
My quote.
I've got the cap gun. Go ahead.
Now, remember, Grant making power, right? Now, you remember, do you remember Norman Dodd, the Congressional Reese Commission in 1954, who investigated the tax-exempt foundations?
I was 4 years old. You expect me to remember that?
Well, I covered it. Okay. So right. Check this out. All of us here at the policymaking level have had experience with directives from the White House. The substance of them is that we shall use our grant-making power so as to alter our life in the United States that we can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. H. Rowan Gaither, Jr., president of the Ford Foundation, told Norman Dodd, Congressional Reese Commission investigation. Why is that relevant? Why that is relevant is, where does the grant money come from?
Right. You're asking me. Here's where I'm coming up with right now. This was written in 1954. The Soviet Union collapsed in, what was it, 1991?
But so it to never merge did.
Go ahead.
I don't believe that it ever did. I think that's all
you don't think that you don't, you don't think that life in the USSR or the in Russia is better than it was before the wall came down?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
With the KGB president. Anyway, get me started with that.
But all right.
This is the point. They're trying to create this one world government. Everybody's the same and then, you know, equal footing, all these things that are going on. Where does grant money come from? It comes from the people. It's one of the largest redistribution of wealth schemes that the federal government could ever employ. So here is a communist program, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That is existing today, that Obama put into place to take all of these marginalized people. You see the same common thread coming along here? This is all Marxism, redistribution of wealth, communitarian communism, whatever you want to call the ism. That is what this program created in Miami, in Dade County, in Broward County. And the crime is off the chart. The sheriff is complicit. And where did all this money go? This for these programs, right? This is millions of dollars are being funneled through for them to ignore reports. Now, if you check out this article under point, I think it's point 12. We found out when six cops blew the whistle on several criminal conduct on severe criminal conduct, they were being instructed to hide. The sheriff and police chiefs were telling street cops and school cops to ignore the ever-worsening criminal conduct. And we have absolute factual evidence to back that up in affidavits at the bottom of this article. Okay. Cannot be refuted.
Okay. No, I'm reading it. I actually was able to pull it up, as technologically challenged as I am, and I'm reading along with you here. So, yes. All right. But you know, the one guy that was supposed to be in the school that day that wasn't in the school that day, Christopher, whatever his name is, he conveniently – did they fire him or did he quit? He was spotted somewhere with his girlfriend walking
– I think he resigned.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, I think he resigned. So – anyway, so these cops under this investigation, of course, they're in a bind. They're in a horrible situation that they can't do anything but blow the whistle on. And a lot of these folks, the police is just a frustrating thing, because I have friends that are cops, and yes, I'm critical on law enforcement, but you know, there's a lot of good cops that do try and stand up and do something right. And these cops did. I give them credit for that. Now comes this shooting, and here comes CNN, right? Mm-hmm. CNN comes running in, and just this whole anti-NRA thing is a shtick to cover up the truth of this promise grant program, a catastrophic Obama Marxist redistribution failure at every level. But I don't, you know, some people call it a failure. I don't necessarily agree that it's been really a failure, because I question the motives of the people who put it into play to begin with. So there you have it.
Right. Well, it's a question of perspective. You know, talking about law enforcement, you say you got, you know, friends that are cops and blah, blah, blah. Here's what, the way I look at it. You know, and I shared this with the audience. I picked up a few weeks ago a guy, him and his wife and another couple. I took them from Mesa to Scottsdale in my Uber. They were celebrating his early retirement as a detective of the Mesa Police Department. All right. Mm-hmm. And he told me, because, you know, I had this guy in the front seat for a half an hour, and I'm an investigative journalist. Do you think I'm not going to grill this guy?
Okay. Of course.
And I asked him, I said, because a captive audience, he can't get out of the car. So I asked him, I said, well, why did you take an early retirement? And ultimately, what it boiled down to was two things. First of all, corruption in the police department that he got sick of. And number two, yeah. that half of the police department was on SSRI, psychotropic drug, you know, anxiety medication and all that stuff. And, you know, as opposed to me, he's actually sent me, you can get a compliment or you can get a, you know, a badge or whatever on Uber. This guy sent me a message after that ride, which said, don't forget to support your local police department. And I'm thinking, and then I had another writer. I had another writer, Tom. I got on the subject with this. And I said, well, most police officers are good. There's a few bad apples. Okay, but here's the problem. Is let's say that 97% of the police department is good and 3% is bad. I mean, it's probably more than that, but let's just say that. Okay. The problem is the big club that they're in and covering for each other. If you've got 3% that are bad apples and they pull off something really outrageous and the good cops, they can't step up to the plate and whistleblow, otherwise they're ostracized and vilified. So doesn't that 3% ultimately wind up spoiling the barrel because of this clique that they're in?
Well, there's that too, and there's also the fact, and this is a lot what a lot of people don't realize too. You know, I know when police are falsely accused, it's great to have somebody to stand up for them. But I have to also say, again, that unions are absolutely – I mean, this is a creation of communism anyway. Workers of the world unite. Well, to fire a cop is the process by which – if say you're an administrator in the police department and you got a guy that's done some bad stuff and you want to get rid of him. But now to fire him – it's going to bring about, you're going to have to give depositions. There's going to be, it's going to be a case. He's going to fight for his job. And the whole process costs hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It costs the taxpayers money. It costs them time away from their work. So it becomes such a cranial crushing headache, right, that they avoid until things happen so bad. And then when they get so bad, they have to cover up the fact that they avoided it to begin with. Well, you have a toxic environment to begin with.
But Tom, how bad is bad? And I'm going to give you an example. In the course of this grilling that I did over this guy, nice guy, by the way, he seemed to be one of the good cops. The subject came up about this. Remember the kid that was in the hotel? It was the Mesa Police Department that murdered him. Remember that?
Yep, shot him down like a dog, as far
right,
as I'm concerned.
I posed a question. I asked him, I said, you know, what was the story behind this guy, this kid in the hotel? And he kind of evaded the whole thing. He says, oh, that happens all the time. And yeah. a chill ran up the back of my spine. I'm going, whoa, you know, how many times has this happened that I haven't heard about?
That's the answer. It happens all the time. Oh, my God, that's what he said?
Yes, that's exactly what he said. You know, he didn't bring up the psychotropics until I had happened to tell him that I had done, and I know the audience knows this, I had done a show on psychiatry in the military, and I was talking about the pervasiveness of the psychiatric drugs, you know, that they just hand out like candy. He said, oh, yeah, half the police department's on it. And I'm going, whoa!
Well, that was a revelation right there.
Yeah, that makes me, that gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling if I have a red light go off in my rearview mirror, right? I mean,
right?
you have no idea what's going to get out of the car, for crying out loud. Anyway, all right. Continue. Go ahead.
You just kicked me in the gut with the psychotropics. Oh, my
look,
God.
Look,
anyway.
Look, you, Tom. You were a victim of this, okay? You were set up, all right? You spent a year in jail for something that you had no idea was even there, all right? But take it a step further. What's that old saying about, you know, you give somebody a position of power and they take advantage of it over time? If you take two members of a group and you put them in one situation, you give another member of a group power over them, the power ultimately corrupts. So the experience that you had, and let's take a trip down memory lane, when you were back in solitary confinement in Oregon, okay, did you find overall that the vast majority of the guards in there were 97% nice to you and 3% bad? Or what was your experience there?
No, actually, I have to be honest. Really being honest about it, there were only actually a couple of guards that I could say I could have an issue with. The majority, but see, I was in Lane County jail for the most part, and the sheriffs in their sheriff's deputies, and for the most part, they were actually pretty cool. To be honest with you, they were. I was by a matter of process in solitary for quite a while, and I don't agree with that process. But ultimately, that's not it's an administrative thing, right? That the actual deputies in the jail, and I don't want to mention their names because, you know, but anyway, there's quite a few of them that were really honestly diligent, actually conservative. There was quite a few conservatives that were a little bit critical as to some certain federal agencies. So there's that. Now, when I got to the prison at Sheridan, there were a few individuals who were absolutely institutionalized nutcases.
And were they wearing guns?
No, they were in the prison. You don't wear a gun. They don't wear guns in the prison like that.
Okay.
But one of them was the doctor. His name is Cantu, C-A-N-T-U. We all of us called him Dr. Cantu because he didn't do anything for anyone.
Okay.
But anyway, then there was.
He was related to Joseph Mengele, right? Go ahead.
Yes, probably. And then there were a bunch of guys that I think have just spent too many years being a guard in federal prison, and I think that they probably, it's institutionalized them a bit. But then there was a few, and if he's listening, he'll know who I'm talking about specifically. One individual, I took a lot of heat. We used to sit and we used to talk because we share the same, you know, belief system. And he was getting out. And he was getting out because he was just sick of, he didn't sign on for what he was doing. He had some issues, but rather than protest, he's just going to quit. And there is my point. You take the best of the best, and what do? They can't, because the system is so big, they quit. And it's a shame because he was somebody that probably should be there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, anyway.
Well, it's the same story with a detective that I took. You know, I mean, this guy, obviously, he took an early retirement after 25 years. He was only like 50 mm-hmm. years old, whatever.
Right.
But that's the reason he got out. The overall sense I got from this guy, that he was really a good cop. As a matter of fact, he got on the subject of, he spent, I think, a year or two, you know, in a police vehicle. And in two years, he only wrote one ticket. I mean, I visualize a guy pulling people over, like, you know, you're going 10 miles over the speed limit, but I'm going to give you a break for now. And I think that's why they took him off, you know, of driving a police vehicle, because he wasn't
generating
revenue. Right. Yeah. So anyway. All right. So anyway, you want to get back to this? I mean, I'm looking at these items in here on this thing that I finally was able to pull up. And some of this is pretty interesting. You were on number 12. Okay.
Yeah, I was on number 12.
Let's go to number 13. Go ahead.
13. The police were in a bind. Mm-hmm. They were encountering evidence of criminal conduct, and yet they recovered evidence in order to let the kids get away with the report without reports. The police could 14.14. The police could take the stolen merchandise and intentionally falsify police records to record stolen merchandise as if they just found it on the side of the road. Point 15. They put drugs and stolen merchandise in bags and sent it into storage rooms into the police department, never assigning the recovery to criminal conduct. Stolen merchandise was just sitting in storage rooms gathering dust, and that means people couldn't get a hold of their property. So that's just theft by conversion. And again, anyway, point 16, they couldn't get the stuff back to the victim because that would mean the police would have to explain how they took custody of it. So they just hid it. So the police were actually complicit by their bureaucracy in the theft.
Either that or they were privately snorting it up their own noses. Go ahead.
Whatever. Either way, it doesn't matter. If you're withholding property from people wrongfully, that's a criminal conspiracy, regardless of – anyway.
Okay,
to prove this was happening, one of the officers told the folks at Conservative Treehouse where to look and who the victim was. Mm-hmm. At first, he didn't believe them. However, after getting the information from detectives, cross-referencing police reports, and looking at the found merchandise, they realized that they were telling the truth. A massive internal investigation took place, and the results were buried. Participating in the cover-up were people in the media who were connected to the entire political apparatus. Sheriff Israel. Anyway, so in point 19, the sheriff and the police chief could always deny the violent acts, assaults, rapes, beatings, etc., were being ignored. And that's why the good guys in the police department gave evidence of the stolen merchandise. That physical evidence couldn't be ignored and proved the scheme. So from 2012 to 2018, it got worse. In Broward and Miami-Dade, it's almost impossible for a student to get arrested, especially a marginalized one. right? This is something that this article didn't really get into too much, but this is what it was. Just go and read the Promise Grant Program, and it tells you all about it. Anyway, the staff within the upper levels of the law enforcement apparatus keep track of arrests, and when a certain number is reached, all else is excused. Well, it didn't take long for criminal gangs in Broward, Miami-Dade, like I told you, to realize the benefit of using students for their criminal activities. After all, the kids would be let go. So organized crime became easier to get away with if they just enlisted high school kids. How wonderful. So. Oh, God.
Oh,
this is enough to drive you nuts.
Right? No, I know. There's eight different ways I can go with this, but go ahead and continue.
Right. As criminals became more adept at the timing within the office of the officials, they timed their biggest crimes to happen after the monthly maximum arrest quota was made. So the most serious of armed robberies, et cetera, were timed for later in the month or the quarter. The really serious crimes were timed for latter phases in the data collection periods. This way, the student criminals were almost guaranteed to get away with it. So you can see how the entire process gets worse over time. Present corruption, the need to hide policy, expands in direct relationship to the corruption before it. This is where the school police came into play. So, understanding the risk behind the scheme, it became increasingly important to put the best corrupt cops in the schools, best as in smartest. Those SROs became the ones who were best at hiding the unlawful conduct.
What's his, Chris, whatever his name is, he was outstanding at it because he didn't show up then. He was
right.
Hiding. Yeah, we gotta
right.
Go. We'll be back at 3. Microphone talk and talking awakening. I'm gonna get the scat gun back. I'll be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Tom Lacavero riding shotgun with me. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. This promise program, the Obama grants, is this a nationwide thing?
Yep.
It is?
Yep.
Okay. And also, Trayvon Martin, wasn't that the kid that private citizen shot and they put him on trial for murder and he ultimately was acquitted?
Yep. For casing the neighborhood. That's what he was brought under. George Zimmerman saw Trayvon casing the neighborhood. That's exactly what Trayvon was doing. He had the ingredients for a drug concoction in his pocket. He was peeking in windows. He was in a neighborhood he didn't belong in at night. And George Zimmerman said, hey, something's wrong with this picture. He never drew his gun on Trayvon until Trayvon actually physically attacked him and was pounding his skull into the pavement. And they tried making it about stand your ground. They're trying to say stand your ground is racist. Well, stand your ground protects blacks and whites. So if you get cornered and you're in fear of your life, you can draw and shoot. It doesn't matter whether you're black. It doesn't matter whether you're white. You shoot, you drop your gun. You don't have to worry about getting shot by the police, regardless of what color you are. It's colorblind. All right. But they were trying to remove this stand your ground law, because this has all been about this agenda for disarmament. This is United Nations Small Arms Disarmament Treaty crap. And they are trying to assault your rights every single way, every day.
That United Nations Charter or Resolution or whatever, that went into play way back in 1961, I believe is when it was written.
Well, Obama had Kerry officially sign on to it under his administration.
Okay. So this is, and they had put it, because I read a little bit of that UN charter resolution, whatever they call it, and they put it in steps. You know, the first step was, right, okay. But they're still trying. I mean, in 1961, 71, 81, 91, 01, 11, that's 56, 57 years they've been trying to do this. Okay, yes. And they haven't succeeded yet. You would think there would come a time where they'd say, wait a minute, this ain't working, you know.
Well, it is working. It's working perfectly. Exactly, doing exactly what they wanted to do. Probably not as fast as they'd like it to do it. But
hold on a minute. Hold on a second, Tom. Dan, I think your microphone is on because I'm hearing you. Is that you, Dan? Oh, all right. Something's playing in the background. Do you hear that, Tom?
No.
Okay. Hold on. It must be me. Just give me a second here. There's something playing on my computer.
That happens.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah. All right, I took care of that. Okay, yeah. So anyway, this is a nationwide program. This has been going on since, what, 2012?
Yeah, yeah. Right. And this is I found out that where I am here, there is the Promise Grant program being utilized here. I dare say I'm about to start investigating it. They may want to send me to Arizona quicker than not, because I'm afraid what I'm going to find here is probably the same thing.
Well, you know, maybe you should touch on that with them. Maybe you could speed up the process. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be checking into the Promise program here in Lane County or whatever county it is you're in.
Yeah.
You might want to think about that and speed up the process. I bet you they'd have you out of there tomorrow. Going to a top hour. We're going to a top hour break. Second hour coming up. Michael Herzog, American Awakening with my shotgun riding buddy, Tom Lacavera. I'm going to take the reins at the top of the second hour. I want to.
It's okay. I got to dip off anyway, my brother.
Oh, you're going to leave? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay, good enough. We'll see you.
Yeah, I don't want to take over your whole show, man.
See you next time.
God bless you, Mike.
All right. What it is you think I should?
are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the